Welcome to the Aporia podcast. Remember, you can listen to this podcast on all the major platforms. If you like the show, you'll love the Aporia magazine. Find the link in the show notes, along with our Twitter and a link to the bonus questions we ask our guests.
Hi, I'm Bo Weingard, and I am joined today by Dr. Michael Rosen, a Harvard professor of political theory in the Department of Government, and the author of, I believe, the pretty recent, I would say, enthralling and erudite book, The Shadow of God, which is what we mostly want to focus on. So getting right into The Shadow of God, which was a very fascinating and erudite book, I want to ask first, because you have a particularly, you've written about this, what is your idea of the history of philosophy and how to think about the history of philosophy, and how does that differ from maybe Hegel on one side and Marx on the other?
Well, that's a very good question. And my view is much less definitive than either of them. But I'm glad you mentioned Hegel and Marx, because by saying something very briefly about how they see the history of philosophy, I can sort of try to orient you about what my view is by contrast. So Hegel has an extraordinarily ambitious conception of the history of philosophy. He sees the whole of human history as an unfolding of reason. And as reason unfolds itself through history, philosophy has a kind of privileged place, because it's in philosophy that the contradictions and conflicts that reason goes through its history come out in the clearest possible way. So that view, that teleological view, culminating, if not finally ending, in Hegel's own day and the self-consciousness that he thought that the world spirit had come to, is one, if you like, extreme view of how history and philosophy go together. I mean, philosophy is just an articulation in a clear form of what's going on in a much less clear form in society in general. Mm-hmm. And that is very obviously also, I would call, an idealist theory of history. It's an idealist theory of history in a metaphysical way, because the whole of reality is the unfolding of this spirit in some strange sense, but also in a sociological way. So if we look at society and we look at the series of societies, we can see that in the end, their guiding determination doesn't lie in something material or something economic or something technological, but in something, as he calls it, spiritual, which he means in a very broad way, a way of relating human beings to the world and to each other. So much for Hegel. Then Marx, as we know, turned Hegel on his head, and he was a materialist in pretty much every way you could be a materialist. So he was a materialist metaphysically. He didn't believe in minds as independent substances. He was a materialist sociologically. He thought that the prime way of understanding society is to look at the way in which human beings form different sets of production relations in various stages of society, and it's this that moves society from one stage to the next. And that leads him to a view of philosophy which is extremely disparaging. He has a number of very rude things to say about philosophy all through. Well, perhaps the rudest is where he describes it as masturbation, but is one allowed to say that on this podcast?
One definitely is, so. Yes.
Good. We're a free speech podcast. Yes. Anyway, his view of it, as is more technically put, is that it's secondary and epiphenomenal.
Yes.
And so you look at philosophy as a way of registering what's going on in society elsewhere. But it doesn't, he says, have a history, by which he means it doesn't have an independent history. Okay, so much for Hegel and Marx.
So may I just interject really quickly? So would it be fair to say that according to Marx, history is more of a symptom. It's something that you might look at to diagnose a disease or the state of a society, but it's not actually, philosophy, the ideas, those are not what driving change in society. What's driving change in society is actually the economic modes of production.
Just so.
Right.
Just careful. History, he means the history of philosophy.
Yes. There is really history. Yeah.
There is really history, but right. Philosophy is not it.
Yes.
Or the history of philosophy is not
yeah.
it. So what do I think? Well, I think that philosophy is embedded in society. I think Hegel is sort of right in that we can always look at societies as having a standing problem of trying to make sense of how it is that we come to terms with the unpleasant facts of death and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there is some systematic unfolding.
Right.
I think that, yes, there are continuities, and there are ways in which we can look at philosophy as embodying those things. I don't think that the only thing that goes on in society is the unfolding of spirit. But I do think that gives a... So in a sense, I'm closer to Hegel, but without the overarching teleology.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we can give an overarching history of Western philosophy, and it is a history of largely a rationalist history, a history in which drives for justification, drives for explanation, displaced earlier revelation-based, myth-based views of reality. This wasn't a smooth process, not an uncontested process, but I think the most distinctive thing that I have to say in the book is that insofar as we see this as a secularizing process,
mm-hmm.
it's a secularizing process that didn't take place because of something that happened outside religion or outside philosophy,
right.
That it was actually endogenous, that it was implicit within the project of Western religion from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, I'm kind of closer to Nietzsche than to Hegel. Nietzsche famously, notoriously described Christianity as Platonism for the people.
Yeah.
And I
yes.
guess that's, he has
a way of
putting
yes.
things in six words, which need 600 pages to explain. But the way that I understand him is that Platonism is the model of a rationalistic view of reality, in which
mm-hmm.
everything is driven by a common drive for explanation, reason, and understanding, and that Platonism for the people, he means, is that something of that Platonic drive, the principle of sufficient reason, the drive for explanation, is also present in the monotheistic religions as a whole, but particularly for Nietzsche in Christianity.
So,
okay, that's a long answer to a big question.
No, that's a great answer, because I personally, I thought this was the most provocative and interesting claim of the book, and I also found myself arguing with it. I don't know if my arguments were forceful or not, but so your claim is, or the way you look at it at least, is maybe what you could call secularism from the inside. So many hypotheses of secularism would say, oh, well, what happened is technology improved, industrial revolution, life became less enchanted, etc. What you're doing is looking at the internal ideas and how those unfolded. Is that a accurate way of summarizing?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of, now you're going to say where you disagree, which I'm interested in, but I think that's a good starting point, yes.
Okay. Well, no, I want to talk about your views before I interject any disagreement. So you the shadow of God is interesting. So let's start there. Where does that come from, and what do you mean by the shadow of God?
Well, again, it's Nietzsche, and he's got this vivid image where he describes how the Buddha was meditating in a cave, and after he had finished meditating, He left the cave, but his...
To listen to the full podcast, become a subscriber at aporiamagazine.com.